Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, August 18th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
You can sit around with the gin running out of your mouth. You can humiliate me. You can tear me to pieces all night. That's perfectly okay. That's all right.
Pay no attention to that man. Gin hardly ever dribbles out of my mouth. And yet, I have another delicious interview show for you today. I am joined by two very beautiful and talented young women, Jordan LaRousse and Samantha Sade, the collective creative genius behind one of the best erotica sites on the web, Oysters and Chocolate Erotic. Don't know Oysters and Chocolate from a hole in your head? Well then, you'd better mosey on over there right away and treat your senses to a virtual smorgasbord of erotic delights. Everything about this site is designed to titillate and arouse, not just your naughty parts, but your gray matter as well. They have stories and poetry and articles and galleries, art, illustrations, and photography. Think of it as smut for the thinking person. To spice up our show, yeah, like it's not tangy enough with these two lovelies speaking their mind, our guests will be reading aloud from some of their favorite erotica. Today's podcast sponsor is the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack, the granddaddies of male masturbation toys. For those who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight. Thus, the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I'm always talking about the mutual joys and the important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you'll agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for the banners on the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad you did.
Oh, boy. You really are having a field day, aren't you?
Stick around. The field day is just about to begin. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, you guys, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm delighted that we could make this time to be together. Listen, why don't you say hello to the nice people?
Hey, out there.
So, Samantha and Jordan, since there are two of you, I want to try something a little bit different. Would each of you take a moment to introduce your colleague? Let's start with you, Jordan. Introduce us to your lovely comrade.
Absolutely, Dr. Dick, and thanks for having us on the show,
oh,
by the way.
You're welcome, darling.
So Samantha, she's actually my dear childhood friend. We've known each other since the fifth grade, when she was a country bumpkin with braids and overalls, and
no,
I'm not exaggerating there. She's really super sweet on the outside, and she's got these cute freckles and big blue eyes, but on the inside, she's definitely a naughty girl, and honestly, I'm afraid I'll never even find out most of her dirty little secrets.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Well, let's work together, you and I, and see if we can get it out of her, so to speak.
Exactly. I've always been the more overtly sexual one, but I think she's way naughtier than me. And she's our editor extraordinaire.
Uh-huh.
She's really fixated on comma placement, defining the appropriate spelling of the word come in its context, and those kinds of things. So,
Sister Mary Samantha.
Exactly.
She makes me nervous already because I don't know squat about punctuation.
Don't let it intimidate you.
the mistress of punctuation.
Yikes! So, Samantha, introduce us to this charming woman that you work with.
Okay, I will. Jordan is one of my very best friends and probably the best business partner I could ask for. As she said, we've known each other since we were kids, and she grew up from a little wild mountain child with a bowl cut. Now she's a beautiful, intelligent, funny lady. Working together has brought us closer in many ways, obviously, than, you know, we ever would have gotten before. Uh-huh. And I can honestly say it's a privilege and a pleasure to work with her.
Oh, thank you.
It's a mutual admiration society.
What?
It's a mutual admiration society.
We love each other.
We do. Yeah, I never would have known just how smart and funny she really is. That's for sure.
So you guys don't live together. In fact, we're conference calling, right? From three different locations, right?
Yeah.
No kidding. The wonders of technology, huh?
Love it.
Thanks.
Samantha's up in the mountains, and I'm down here on the flatlands in Boulder, Colorado. So.
No kidding. Well, is it lovely there? It's hot as it blazes than here in the Emerald City.
It's cooled down this week. We're enjoying a lovely 80 degrees today, so we're very happy.
Yeah, well, it's about that here, and that's hot for us.
Are you lucky thing? We've been in the upper 90s for quite a while.
No me gusta.
Yeah.
Anyhow, listen, I've been spending way too much time on your wonderful website, oystersandchocolate.com. It's so chock full of delicious stuff. I hardly know where to begin our conversation. So maybe we could begin at the beginning. Your banner logo reads Oysters and Chocolate Erotic. That's pretty titillating. You've named your site after two famous aphrodisiacs, and then you spell it out for your visitors on what they are going to find there, erotica. Whose idea was that?
Well, it actually took us quite a while to come up with a name that was right. Mm-hmm. We were looking for something that was sexy and feminine, but not cheesy. Mm-hmm. And we played around with things like Aphrodite's notes, but nothing really felt right. Uh-huh. And it was actually Jordan who was brainstorming alone one night, and it kind of just came to her. And she sent me an email, and as soon as I opened it the next day, I saw oysters and chocolate, and I knew that was it. It was just perfect. So the
isn't it great when you had those ta-da move moments?
Exactly.
Ding.
Yep. The tagline erotic was simply a natural extension of what we were trying to capture. Uh-huh. Our name was a little bit long, so a short, precise tagline was really the only one that would really work.
Right.
Yeah, it's erotic, period. It's to the point, leaves no question as to what the site is all about.
Right.
And in the beginning, we were actually thinking of calling it Oysters and Chocolate, the premier erotica e-zine, but the word erotica is copyrighted, and I'm so glad we didn't go that direction now.
Me too. So that's a mouthful. So, are people confused when they see Oysters and Chocolate? Do they think they're happened upon a cooking site?
Actually, funny thing, Dr. Dick, today I was with my personal trainer, and I gave him my business card, and he goes, oh, do you sell oysters and chocolate?
Kind of.
Well, that's the important thing about our name, is that it includes two aphrodisiacs, but they would never go together.
No.
And actually, the thought of chocolate and oysters is just a little bit repulsive to many people, including me.
Yeah.
Chocolate-covered oysters in particular.
Yeah. Separately, though, the two words represent the two ends of the broad spectrum that is human sexuality. And some people love oysters, some people love chocolate, some people love both, although not together.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great thought. Right there. I mean, this sexuality on a spectrum. I don't often talk to people who have that concept. They see it either or, but they don't see sexuality on a continuum where one kind of sexuality kind of flows into another kind of sexuality rather than, you know, a fixed, you know, compositions, concrete entities that just bump up against each other.
Exactly. It's definitely a spectrum of sexuality, from bondage to romance to threesomes and foursomes. I mean, we have everything on there. We're really trying to appeal to a variety of sexual tastes and to answer the question, what's your favorite flavor?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Maybe this would be a good place for us to talk about what you mean by erotica. I suspect that there are several plausible definitions floating around out there, but since you are here, I'd like to get your specific take on it.
Yeah, definitely. For us, erotica is anything sexual that stimulates both the body and the mind, and having both of those components is key. So erotica can be a story, a photo, or a simple scene from a movie. You can have, of course, erotic dreams and images. And even things like flowers or a meal can be erotic. But to us, erotica stimulates all of the senses as well as the imagination.
Like Dr. Kinsey said, that our biggest sex organ is between our ears.
Exactly.
That's a big thing we like to say over here, too. So,
Jordan, do you want to weigh in on the erotica question about your specific definition, if difference differs?
Well, you know, I just kind of wanted to get into the topic of how erotic is different than, like, pornography or even softcore pornography.
Yeah. Well, let's go there then.
Yeah.
So erotica is not softcore porn, because a lot of people think that, you know, just, oh, it's the hearts and flowers without, you know, the in and out, so to speak.
Right.
So erotica is not softcore porn. In fact, erotica is not necessarily softcore, nor is it pornographic.
Exactly. Erotica is neither. Now, just for the record, we want to mention that we're both proponents of pornography because we support freedom and sexuality so long as it's consensual and between adults. But as far as erotica goes, it's not softcore. We offer up some of the dirtiest topics out there for consumption. I think softcore typically skirts around the sex act, playing up the sensual aspects or alluding to the sex act and completely bypassing the penetration, the nipple sucking, and other overtly sexual aspects.
Yeah.
And that's something we definitely don't do. Porn, on the other hand, glorifies the sex act, but totally skips over all the real-life components that lead to the sex. It overlooks a lot of the subtle details that make sex so damn hot. The way the hair raises on the nape of your neck when someone kisses your ear, the slickness of a wet pussy, the throb and pulse of a ready cock. So we get really dirty, but we also keep the imagination soaring.
As I promised our audience, I'd like to ask each of you to read aloud a snippet or two from some of your favorite erotica. Now sounds like a really good place to do just that. Sam, I understand that you have a poem to share.
Let's try this one. This one is called Floor, and it's by Lux Zachary. It's pretty short. We fucked on this floor. The kids grow up on a square of coitus-crushed carpet. Invisible copulation still takes place before oblivious baby blues, entranced by sippy cups and Mickey mobiles. Meanwhile, mommy and daddy trade glances overhead, winks that assure later.
That's cute.
That is grand. Well, you know, you're so right about the porn thing. And as you know, that I have a porn company myself, it's Daddy O Productions. And one of the things that interested me when I started the company was that I thought that a good thing, a good portion of what was missing in pornography was the erotic, the seduction, the allure, and the romantic aspects of it. Instead of just bumping parts, I mean, parts bump. I mean, and that can be interesting on one level. But when you integrate part bumping with an entire personality, that makes for magic, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Heart bumping.
So what makes erotica then different from a romance novel? Jordan, you were saying that it was that romance novels tend to gloss over, you know, and fade to black just before the nasty happens.
I think a romance novel is on the emotional side of the spectrum.
Yes.
It offers up a lot of fantasy situations that typically don't occur in real life. There's gorgeous men, a lot of wooing and pining away and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas erotica may involve fantasy situations, but it's primarily based in reality. It's based in the nitty-gritty feelings, the moods and acts that culminate in a creative sexual experience. Mm.
Would either of you like to weigh in on the concept of that erotica is more of a female-oriented outreach as opposed to pornography, which might be more male-oriented? Or is that a fiction, would you say?
Well, we've put a lot of thought into this, actually. One of the things that we've noticed is I think women appeal to erotica, or erotica appeals to women more often simply because it's often not visual.
Uh-huh.
And here's a funny little thing I've noticed is that women during the sex act, we're usually in a lot of positions where we can't see what's going on. So we really have to go inside our heads and dig out all the stuff that's going to get us off.
Insight. That is an insight of that I haven't really heard of or thought of.
And
good for you. What clever thing.
So it's a good mirror of our personal sexual experience as women, as mm-hmm. erotica, because we're really in our minds during mm-hmm. the sex act a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, doggy style, I'm not seeing anything that's going on behind me, you know. Mm-hmm. And what if I'm blindfolded,
exactly.
You know? So.
So some women don't necessarily escape into, and maybe escape is actually a loaded word, but women don't resort to fantasy because they're uncomfortable with what is going on in the physical realm with their body. That's a misnomer?
I think we're good at pulling it all together, I think, because we really use our entire bodies in and our minds. But you know what? Actually, I think Samantha's got a great analogy for the difference between erotica and porn. And I think it kind of clarifies that erotica isn't necessarily exclusively for women, and porn is definitely not exclusively for men.
Uh-huh.
It's just a different approach to the same end. And I love this little analogy, if you want to tell him, Dr.
It is a good analogy. I wanted to first address, Jordan was talking about, you know, the very personal differences and why women might be more drawn to erotica, but I was thinking about it from a social aspect.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of think that it's not entirely true. I think women can be very, very visual.
Oh, I agree.
There's just this social history that it's okay for men to watch porn and to look at naked bodies and to go to the strip clubs and pay to watch naked women, whereas women, you know, just traditionally don't do that kind of thing. So, and I think that may be part of a problem for women in their sex lives is they don't realize how visual they are. And so
explore. The popular culture doesn't give them permission to do that necessarily.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've definitely bumped up against some serious double standards because of that concept. But
I interrupted you, Sam. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Back to the analogy between the porn and erotica, we like to use another food analogy for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that porn is like a piece of candy. It's like a sweet tart or a Starburst.
Mm-hmm.
You can pop it in your mouth and get an immediate rush of something sugary.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of slaps against your tongue and there's a flash of sweetness and then it's gone. Whereas erotica, on the other hand, is like a chocolate souffle paired with a good glass of red wine.
Wow.
You can roll the flavors around in your mouth and they dance together and complement one another, stimulating every taste bud. And the experience of the souffle and wine stays with you, whereas the candy is kind of a flash in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
So just as with porn and erotica, sometimes a person is in the mood for that quick burst of candy, and other times you want to savor an amazing dessert.
Yeah. And besides, there seems to be a bit more of a commitment, a holistic commitment in terms of erotica as opposed to porn. I mean, I can watch, you know, again, parts bumping on the internet, but if I really want to involve my entire self, you know, sitting down and, you know, reading an erotic story or contemplating a complex erotic image is so much more satisfying and actually demands more of me than as a consumer than, you know, the quick, as you suggest, burst.
Right. That's a great way to think about it.
You know, it's a funny thing about pornography, because the original meaning of the word, you probably already know this, has to do with writing. It's from the Greek, and it's about the writings about or by prostitutes. And in the concept of prostitution or a courtesan was definitely not a pejorative thing for the ancient Greeks. It was something, you know, quite honored. So pornography has a very long and illustrious, you know, history. It's unfortunate that, you know, things have corrupted as they have. It's funny how the original meanings of words and concepts can often be corrupted and turned on their head like that.
Yeah,
they sure can. So we're going to turn it back right.
Yes, exactly. at the same
That's our
time,
goal.
At the same time, it would seem to me that, you know, being clever and resourceful creatures like we are, us humans use language that way, and, you know, can take otherwise non-erotic words and eroticize them and plug them in and turn them on to and give them a sexual connotation where there was not one before, which
right.
I think is really interesting.
Yeah, like the dirty, well, some of the dirtiest words, I think, came, you know, like pussy.
Yes.
That is such a dirty word now, but it used to mean kitty cat, right?
That's right. And something simple like gay, as opposed to homosexual, and, you know, where at one time, even 100 years ago, that was it wasn't what it means today.
Exactly. I feel so gay today.
Exactly. And, you know, when these words are being when they're being toyed with like this, like some in the hands of somebody like Noel Coward, for example, I think what brilliant things where they can dance on that, you know, that head of a pin, or dance on that razor's edge, where, you know, the people in the audience are going, what is he really talking about? What is he really getting at? I think that's just so brilliant.
This kind of stuff definitely fascinates us, because we're really, both of us are wordsmiths.
Is that right?
Yep.
No kidding.
And so just the love of language, I think, might have been our very first reason for getting involved in this website at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
Yeah.
So our society deals very differently with the written word as opposed to visual depictions, either still photos or moving images. And why do you suppose that is?
Well, first of all, you actually have to take the time to read and think about the written word, which is something you just mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But images are definitely in your face and undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
Imagery also depicts another body, someone who's not you, someone
right.
who you might want to be, but it's not you.
Right.
And there's a sense of voyeurism involved. And on the other hand, in written erotica, all the imagery blossoms in one's own mind, and it's very personal, almost as intimate and personal as sex itself. So
I know as a pornographer myself that I'm always hearing from the popular culture that porn is exploitative, and it's true, a good portion of it is. It doesn't seem like erotica could be exploitative, but, you know, do you get accused of that as well?
You know, not exactly. We have been accused of being perverts.
Yay.
of being anti-feminist. That's kind of a big one for
yeah.
us. We've also been called racist because we had interracial imagery on our site.
Oh, no kidding.
But criminals or anything like that, not really.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've bumped into a lot of double standards because of this. There's this small business development center who offers, like, business classes and help with putting together business plans, and we called them and they wouldn't work with us because we are quote unquote pornographers. So we've mm-hmm. experienced a lot of anger.
You know, Dr. Dick, there is a double standard out there, and that's probably what gets me and Jordan going more than anything else. You know,
isn't it the truth?
Yeah.
As Jordan said, while we haven't been called, you know, criminals or anything like that yet, we have been accused of many things, including posting offensive content and exploitive content. The thing is, some people see our site as porn and not erotica, and that's okay. And I personally have to admit that when we first started this business, I felt safe because we were publishing quote-unquote erotica, which to me meant sexual and soft and non-offensive, and, you know, we didn't have video on our site and stuff like that. But people in my own life, people close to me, as well as people in the business world, started accusing us of running a porn site.
Yes.
And it really freaked me out.
Yeah.
So I finally came to terms with it all and sat down and wrote an editor's letter in 2007. And I pretty much just said, screw it. Yes, we run a dirty site. We call it erotica, but for many people, it is porn. Mm-hmm. Erotica is sexual, so is pornography, and they really overlap into a gray area.
Yeah. Having sex with your wife with the lights on is pornographic for a lot of people.
For some people. Isn't anal sex illegal in several
states, absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely. Sodomy. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, why is it that you can talk about sex, but you can't look at it?
Yeah.
You know, why is it okay for someone to come to you for sex advice, but you can't actually film it?
Exactly that. And it's a fine line because, you know, long before there was a great deal of pornography, as we currently understand it, there were, you know, health movies, pattern films and things like that that were basically the same thing, only there was a different music background, you know, something soothing and nice and a talkover as opposed to bump and grind music, and that's how we could tell the difference between pornography and health movies. And it was so cuckoo.
Dr. Dick, one thing that bugs me about porn is the soundtracks. Where does that stuff come from?
basically hell, I think. Oh, goodness. Listen, you guys, that's all of the time we have for this week. Can I invite you back for next week?
Of course. We would love it.
Because there's so much more that I want to talk about, and I want to hear more of your stories, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
Great. You guys are wonderful. I look forward to next week, then.
We do, too. Thank you so much.
Gosh, what a great show. Don't miss part two of this interview, which will be available on Monday, August 25th. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Fleshlight and Fleshjack. Say, guys, have you been looking for the perfect gift for yourself? A gift that will give you hours of fun and pleasure and never run out of batteries? Well, I have just the thing for you. Once you've tried a Fleshlight, you'll never settle for second best. You know all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short views? Well, here's a tip. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response, and last for as long as you'd like, takes practice. Sure, you can learn to last longer simply by using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with the stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice, this puppy will help train you to last longer, to gain control over your ejaculation response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you accomplish this with your Endurance Jack, you will have the skills you need to last longer with a partner.
I'm going to finish you before I'm through with you.
Yikes, these people are scaring me. And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcasts in iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Hey, and while you're there, feel free to leave a comment. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex is even better. Over and out.